While we're getting ready this morning, please open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. With Bible in hand, please follow along with me as we read today's passage of Scripture. Beginning in Luke, chapter 17, verse 11, we read, "Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was, that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.' Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, "See here" or "See there." For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you.'" Let's pray. Father, we've just read in your word a reality that the kingdom of God is within us. May it be the desire that you've given us realized in our hearts and in the assembly this morning, that we desire to give ourselves to you, to bring you glory, to hear, even as that cleansed leper did, what your word was to him at that time, and to respond in the obedience of faith. Father, speak all that your heart desires. Let us be content with nothing less. Let us rejoice, Lord, knowing that you have spoken to us and your purpose is being accomplished. Father, with loud inner voices or outer as you choose, let our hearts just turn to you right now and say, Lord, you are worthy of all glory. It's you that we're seeking. We want to hear your word, but only to the extent that it brings us to you in fellowship more fully, that we may know you, Father. We ask your will be done by you, thanking you in faith, praising you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Title of today's teaching, "Which Leper Are You?" We will explain that more fully as we go, but clearly that is a main focus of the passage of this section of Luke's Word, this historical account written and preserved for us to accomplish the Lord's purpose. And again, as we've been saying all morning already, that we may know him. With that fresh on our minds, let's jump right into the text and break it down here. In verse 11, "Now it happened." It's a change of scene. Jesus is still continuing with his disciples on his way to Jerusalem, where he'll be crucified. We know that, and we're seeing various degrees of awareness, no matter how many times Jesus tells the disciples with him, and he's encountering various groups, the mixed multitude. He's got the disciples, there's the Pharisees, there's the crowd that is thronging in to hear him, and Jesus is speaking and ministering to and in the presence of all. And in that background, we have a change of scene here, verse 11, where we read, "Now it happened, as he," Jesus, went to Jerusalem. Again, that's ultimately where Jesus is going. That he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Galilee is the region around the Sea of Galilee. Samaria. Man, if you were a Hebrew, that would have a different impact than it does on us as Bible readers. As Bible readers, we know something, and we'll see again later. Samaria, that was so important to the Israelites of Jesus' day because of the previous bad history and those that still dwelt there that the Jews just really didn't have anything to do with. You might be thinking a little bit about the Samaritan woman that Jesus encountered at the well, as recorded in John's gospel. We'll revisit that in our minds as we go through the teachings. Samaritans and Jews, they just don't mix. But there's Jesus going through the region and Galilee. So Samaritans and Jews, kind of, if you will, where Jesus is traveling. We continue to read verse 12. Then as he, Jesus, entered a certain village, apparently which one isn't important for the Lord's purpose here, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. I know for the group present today, this is not your first go-around with biblical study on lepers. You understand already why the afar off. Leprosy, well, first, for the Jews, it was a commandment. For the non-Jews, well, it was still a necessity. You get too close as a leper, people might just not embrace you warmly. They might do things like throw rocks at you, drive you away. Why? Because leprosy, common in the day, was debilitating and without a cure and highly infectious. For the Jews, they were commanded to keep their distance and even announce, scripture records, you keep your finger under your nose. Maybe that was like the Old Testament mask kind of thing, slow the spread of moisture. I have no idea. God said do it. And you announce if you're coming into an area of people. If they don't know, if they haven't picked up on the fact that you're a leper, you proclaim it really loudly, unclean. Why? So people could scatter. So that's just a little of the biblical backdrop. That's the situation. Jesus is traveling with the disciples. There's 10 of them. 10 lepers. Good distance off. Everything. That's how you're supposed to be if you're a leper with non-lepers. You keep your distance. They weren't out of earshot, obviously. Because verse 13 tells us, those 10 lepers, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Oh, this is fantastic. This is exactly right. Where's our hope and our help? It's in Jesus. What do we know of Jesus? Something. Relationship. Master? Well, there's so much bound up in what did you mean by that? Jesus is Master. He's Lord of all. But it really comes down to what was the relationship with Jesus and them. Clearly, Jesus had demonstrated his mastery over death, right? Disease, all of those things in his miracle-working ministry. We've seen previous records, even in Luke's gospel, of Jesus healing a leper, remember? Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus' response, I am willing. Be cleansed, right? Master, have mercy on us. And again, that tells us something of their understanding. This is fantastic. This is a necessary beginning. It's not because we earned it, we deserve it, we're worthy of it. It's because you are the Master and you are merciful. and we know something of our need. Well, yeah, they're lepers, right? Have mercy on us. Verse 14, so when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. Again, we won't turn there, but I'll remind you, this is exactly what a leper was commanded to do. First off, if he had something he was suspected was leprosy, or if there would have been somehow a cleansing, you had to go present yourself to the priest, and he would make the final determination. Yep, you're clean, you can come back in and be with us because you've met God's requirements. So that's all Jesus does. He simply tells them. Can I just point out with a word? Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Again, this is fantastic. You recognize that one sentence, what it communicates. They're demonstrating the obedience of faith. Oh, no, how about, you know, Naaman the Syrian, like, what? Go bathe in a river? No, I don't want. Hey, these guys have faith. They're still lepers. Go show yourselves to the priest. Excuse me? What am I going to show them? I know what I am. They trusted Jesus. They went. And as they believed, in absence of clear, miraculous healing, the Lord accomplished his purpose. He simply records, they were cleansed. The Lord is so not done with this passage. Verse 15. And one of them, wait a minute, how many were there to begin with? There's 10. And now the Lord puts our focus on the fact that one of them, when he saw that he was healed, I hope we get to talk to this guy one day. I think there's reason to believe so. Oh, it's like you were just like, what? Just go show myself? And maybe the Lord doesn't describe it, because how could words describe what would have went through this guy's mind? When he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, praising, right? Fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. God has said, wow. I don't know how you read this, right? Because you know we're talking about Jesus. But do you see the way this is written? Verse 15, one of them, this cleansed leper, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet. Who's God's feet? Did he know? Well, Jesus' feet, clearly, but Jesus is God. You see what did this guy know at this time? What is the Holy Spirit intending to communicate? Hey, he's glorifying God, and then he falls down at his feet giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. More on Samaritans in just a couple moments. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Again, this is God directing, well, whose attention? Those present, the disciples, certainly ours this morning. Now we're going to go deeper in a moment, but let's get a little bit more. Verse 19, Jesus is now speaking. He said to him, the cleansed leper, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. We're just going to hold up there a moment, because in just a few words, there is so much. Were there not 10, but only one comes back to give God glory? Hey, I just want to point this out to you. We see in the Old Testament that there's a principle that 1/10 is like God's portion. Perhaps that's what's intended to get our mind. It's not ever going to be the big crowd that comes back. And please hear me. I'm not throwing the other 9 cleansed lepers under the bus, because I recognize that things proceed with us with God and his timing and awareness happens at different levels. What I can say is at that time, there was just 1 out of 10. They all received, they all recognized their need. They knew something of who Jesus was. They appealed to him. They acted in faith. And the scripture doesn't say, right? And as they went, one was healed and the other 9 were left out because God knew they weren't coming back. They all got the same thing. But one came back. 1/10, precisely. And only 1 out of 10 had further instruction from the Lord. Right? Directions go your way. I've spent time with the Lord thinking, how long would he have stayed there if Jesus didn't send him someplace else? Go your way. And that phrase gives me cause for pause too. Conversation with Christ. Lord, you really want me to go my way? Or do you want me to go your way? Or is this obedient? Is that going? It's a very important question for reasons that we'll look at. And in just a few words, he gets the foundation of all of Jesus' teaching. If we don't get this, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. The just shall live by faith. And again, knowing something of how the Lord works with his people over time, and not knowing exactly how this man ended up here, just recognizing, you know, we hear things from the Lord far in advance of the understanding that follows. I have imagined many things, obviously, about, wow, did he go? It's like, wow, I'm praying. Okay, Jesus told me to go, so I'm going to go. It's like, my faith has made me well. Faith, that's, okay, that faith means trusting what God said. And maybe I need more of what he has to say. Again, there's just so much bound up there, and there's more coming, obviously, but we need to maybe refresh ourselves a little bit on the biblical underpinnings. We're dealing with lepers here this morning. I'm going to say again what you've heard me say so many times before. Leprosy is a picture of sin in Scripture. Usually I form it as a question. Hey, what does leprosy picture? And I remember one time when I asked it within the fellowship, there was like dead silence. It's a picture of sin. Wait, come on, guys, we hear that all the time in Bible teaching. It kind of dawned on me. Maybe that's not the most helpful. Maybe this would be better. Leprosy is often referred to as a picture of sin. Please understand that the Lord teaches with real items to communicate, temporal, physical items to communicate spiritual truths. Lepers, and it's a real disease, it's bad, but it's ultimately the way the Lord uses it and teaches, communicates a greater reality. So again, I will just simply say that many people have picked up what the Lord is doing with this picture and said, well, you know, leprosy is really a picture. It has a parallel. It's similar to sin in some ways. And let's explore that for just a moment. Consider the following. In the Bible, leprosy acts as a picture of sin due to its contaminating, progressive, and isolating lethal nature. Now, exploring all three of those terms a little bit more fully. Contaminating. They stood afar off. Unclean. Highly infected. Contaminating. You don't get near a leper or you're going to contract leprosy. That's how it's caused that way. Fun fact for anybody traveling to the American Southwest. Armadillos are known carriers of leprosy. It's progressive. You don't just get a little bit of leprosy and then it goes away like the cold. You get a little leprosy and it continues to do its work until it's, well, fatal, obviously. And isolating. Even if you don't take a position of obediently obeying the Lord, the other people will make a point of keeping you away from them. So again, for more explanation, leprosy acts as a picture of sin due to its contaminating, progressive, and isolating lethal nature. More fully, the physical decay leprosy causes represents the spiritual decay that sin causes in the life of a believer or in the life of an unbeliever. To get a more full point on this, just like sin, leprosy corrupts from within, right? It's native. It's inherent within you. That's where leprosy starts. That's where leprosy does its work. It is infectious. It spreads. Is sin infectious? Hey, God says evil company has no impact on good habits. Stay right there with them, because you can fellowship all day long with darkness. No. Sin, like leprosy, once it gets a foothold, once it starts, it just keeps working. Like sin, leprosy separates us from fellowship. We've talked about the lepers. God says you keep away. But sin separates us from fellowship, first with God. In Isaiah, we're told, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Hey, Christian, this is not by any way saying that if you have sinned since becoming a Christian, you're done. No, Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. But what's your relationship? Is Jesus going to come down and fellowship and party with you while you're doing that which he hates, hurts you? No. No. That's why we're told don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He's there, but you're not in the kind of fellowship that Jesus enjoys with the Father, or that we have available to enjoy with him. So, like leprosy, sin separates us from fellowship. This one, like sin, leprosy numbs us to further damage. Oh, all those unfortunate leper jokes of my youth, right? About body parts missing and things like that. Well, what I've read, and certainly I'm no medical expert, that it's not uncommon to see damaged or missing limbs. But for this reason, advanced leprosy would destroy the function of nerve endings, your ability to feel, and especially in primitive societies where you're dealing with cooking and other things over. Is this pan hot? How do you know? But if you can't feel, if you don't feel pain and you're engaged in activity, you don't know when to withdraw it. The damage happens. Flesh becomes irreparably damaged and ultimately missing. Why? Because you're numb to it. Causes you not to be able to feel. Scripture warns us about sin, that it hardens us. You can be in sin and no longer convicted. You become numb to it. Numbs us to further damage. Like sin, leprosy, or leprosy like sin, depending how you want to look at it, results in inevitable ruin. Sin will take you out. One, right? One infection of leprosy will continue unabated. And this is the biblical, yes, I know, modern leprosy and antibiotics, right? But we're dealing with the biblical reality of that time. Ultimately, leaving the position that, like sin, leprosy required divine intervention to cleanse and heal, restore, make you whole. A leper who was immediately, his flesh was new. The leper was white and leprous, but now it's like restored. That's what God does with us. Our sins have separated us and set us on the path to eternal separation and ruin. But so leprosy as a type in Scripture can be correctly referred to as a picture of sin. So we're going to kind of approach leprosy. things on that basis. Now, did you see Jesus' other distinction? Obviously, they're lepers, right? 10 were cleansed, 1 come. And he was a foreigner. A foreigner. Right? What do you mean? Well, he's walking through Samaria. The passage strongly suggests, but doesn't explicitly state that, well, there were 10, 1 comes back, he's a foreigner. There might have been some Hebrews in that group too, you know, because if you're a leper, you just kind of hang together. Don't really know. We know a Samaritan came back. A Samaritan was the one who came and gave God glory for his restoration. What's really the rub anyway, guys, between Jews and Samaritans? Let's take a biblical refresher on that because it's going to further set the stage for us in answering the question, which leper are you? So to do this, keeping a marker here in Luke chapter 17, let's go back to the left in the Old Testament, the book of 2 Kings chapter 17. As you're making your way, just a quick biblical refresher, we know that Israel as a kingdom only stayed united under the rule of Saul, David, and then Solomon, right? Then the Rehoboam and Jeroboam, the kingdom splits and the 10 tribes go up to the north. They have their capital up in Samaria. And you know, Jeroboam, he did that thing that's referred to as the sin of Jeroboam. He established a worship center. He created idols, golden calves, and he caused the Israelites to worship them in God's sight, on God's land. God is patient and long-suffering. But when it came to the point, a holy God exercised his judgment and justice. Israel came to the point where God said, that's enough. And if you remember your biblical history, well, all of Israel goes away. First the northern 10 kingdoms and then the southern kingdoms. But the northern 10 first, and God uses the Assyrians or Assyria, the superpower to the north, the enemy of Israel, to be his instrument to take Israel captive and actually to take Israel out of the land, right? That's where we're picking it up here in 2 Kings chapter 17. Let's start in verse 23. Until, right, all the things that happened before, until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. God warned them. He gave them all kinds of warning. And then he said, okay, Israel, you're going to do these things. I'm taking you out of my, literally, God's eyes are upon his land, right? He takes the people out of the land he promised. So Israel was carried away from their own land to Assyria, as it is to this day, at least to the time of the writing of 2 Kings. Picking it up now in verse 24, we're going to get a little history. So what's it like? God promised Israel the land. God takes his people out of the land. The land is now empty. King of Assyria? Well, he's got a different plan. Verse 24. Then the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they took possession of Samaria and dwelt in its cities. Now the Jewish land is being indwelt by non-Jewish people. And it was so at the beginning of their dwelling there that they did not fear the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. Oh, things were so simple in those days. Oh, we're living in this land, and the Israelites knew, the ancient people knew, hey, all of these geographical areas have ruling deities over them. God designated that, as we read about in Deuteronomy 32, right? And this particular land, well, this was the God of the Israelites. This was Yahweh's land. So you have non-Israelites living here now, and, well, he sends lions, and he's killing them. Verse 26, so they spoke to the king of Assyria. You might have done better to speak to Yahweh, but, you know, well, They weren't too hip on that as far as knowing what to do. So they spoke to the king of Assyria saying, "The nations whom you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria did not know the," look at the next word, "the rituals." The rituals? Jewish people had rituals. God ordained it. Is that what God wants? Does he want the reality of a relationship? But that's their testimony. "The nations whom you've removed and placed in the cities of Samaria do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Therefore, he sent lions among them. And indeed, they're killing them because they do not know the rituals of the God of the land." Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, "Send there one of the priests whom you brought from there. Let him go and dwell there, and let him teach them the rituals of the God of the land." Ugh. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord, because you do it by ritual. However, every nation continued to make gods of its own and put them in the shrines on the high places which the Samaritans had made. Every nation in the cities where they had dwelt, the men of Babylon made Sukkoth, Beneth, the men of Cuth made Nergal, the men of Hamath made Ashimah, and the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burned their children in fire to Adrammelech and Anemelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. Get the picture. It's God's land. You're sacrificing children to other gods. Is he not present? Does he not care? But they're doing, the priest taught them the rituals, but they're doing this also. Verse 33, they feared Yahweh, yet served their own gods. Oh, if you're looking for applications, just let the Holy Spirit kind of, you know, work that with you a little bit. We'll drill down a little bit. Again, in verse 33, they feared Yahweh, yet served their own gods, according to the rituals of the nations, from among whom they were carried away. To this day, they continue practicing the former rituals. They do not fear Yahweh, nor do they follow their statutes or their ordinances or the law and the commandment which Yahweh had commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. We'll hold there for a moment. So you think about this. There it is. They're traveling through Samaria. You remember from earlier, "Lord," the disciples asked, "do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume these Samaritans because, you know, they weren't coming out after you?" No, Jesus is there to save the Samaritans and the Pharisees and the sinners, you know, like lepers. The opportunity is for all who will call upon their name. But you kind of get the understanding here. Oh, you guys are there. You recognize Yahweh, but you're recognizing your other gods. It sets the stage for Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman. Remember what she said? "You Jews say, you know, we should worship in Jerusalem, but our ancestors say on this mountain." They had both, right? Oh. So, back here to Luke a little bit. 10 lepers are cleansed. One comes back to give glory to God, and he's a Samaritan. Maybe he's like, you know what? Oh, okay. Better worship that God. Remember the story about the lions? Maybe something is, I'll just come back and I'll give honor to the God of this land. Well, he's at Jesus' feet, right? Personally, I hope better things for him, right? Like the Samaritan woman. Man, wait a minute. I'm going to praise the God who healed me. And I'll just stay here until he sends me someplace else. And we think about that, and I'm just like, wow. Wouldn't it have been better if, okay, go your way. I just imagine having had the benefit of walking with the Lord, something. how it's worked with me. It's like, okay, go my way. I'm going to come to the Lord and I'm going to ask him for what I want. And then when he gives me what I want, I'm just going to go and I'm good. Situation is taken care of here. That's what 9 of them did. Okay, no, wait, I'm going to thank you, Lord. And then the Lord says to me, go your way, Todd. Okay, what is he? What do I want to do? Wait a minute. My way got me into that leprosy position. Really, shouldn't it be go your way, Lord? What does this look like? And I imagine, because let me be clear, Scripture doesn't say this, that the Lord who knows perfectly sent him to accomplish his purpose in his time. And in this, the story, we see at least the allowance of knowing how the Lord works. And I want to share this with you because I think this understanding is going to bring so much light onto the rest of the passage where we'll finish today as we contemplate the lepers. We already looked as leprosy as a picture of sin. I ask this provocative question. You know, which leper are you? Are you like the 9 who got, they recognized their need, they knew something of Jesus, they came, they received, and then they just went and never came back? Or are you like the 1 who recognized his need and knew something of Jesus and cried out to him and got what you wanted, and then you came back, and then you praised him, and then you went your way? Well, I mean, he was still being obedient, right? Well, which kind of a leper am I? Can I suggest to you a better alternative if you're a Christian and you're listening this morning? You're not. And thinking that way really is what holds us back, and coming to that realization is what the Lord is doing. If any man, woman, be in Christ, they're a new creation. You know, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Yes, I'm a sinner. Well, wait. The new me is not a sinner. It cannot sin. Oh, wait. Going my way. But my way should be his way. You see, in the early stages of our Christian walk, it looks so much like this. My hope is that I'll one day be talking to all 10 of them. I don't know, because the Lord doesn't say, what happened? You were a leper. And what happened? I went to Jesus. And like, and then what? And then what did he tell you? I was so excited. I never went. I got to find out more about Jesus. Maybe, right? Maybe out of those thousands of people on the day of Pentecost, there were 10 former lepers who were cleansed. I don't know. I hope so. But we see so much of the opposite. But in this, we do see a revealing of how the Lord works with every one of us. So I want to share with you, relatively briefly, a passage of an upcoming study where the Lord is leading some of us to partake. Some observations from some brothers. So let's look at it this way, from the context of the lepers. 9 got what they needed, and they went their way. Where's their focus? Right? It wasn't on the one who did it. It's on me getting what I want. And they went, and they never, in the passage, never came back. So a brother offers this up. During the early years of your Christian life, there was a lot of childish self-centeredness. True of every Christian, brethren. Which your father patiently tolerated and ultimately utilized. Jesus is tolerating. He's ultimately utilizing it in the passage of the lepers. Look what he's doing with us this morning, just with the account. Then this brother said, naturally, so true of the old nature still present with the Christian, naturally your attitude was, Jesus died, I'm putting the emphasis here because this is where the brother put, as a carnal Christian, a babe in Christ, a selfish person, this is how we thought. Jesus died for my sins. God has saved me. The cross was for my sake. Therefore, it was my joy and my relief with which I was occupied. You know, the song of the baby Christian. Me, 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 I. Right? That's how we think until the Lord works differently. Brother says this, consequently, There was a good deal of immature selfishness that extended into your early years as a believer. Again, I'm hoping that's the case with these lepers. One acted a little bit differently. We'll get to him. You prayed for and expected the Father's blessings, love, fellowship, and comfort, as well as his guidance, protection, and help along your path. You looked for relief and freedom from the guilt and inconvenience of sin. And we do as growing Christians. And desired from him the peace, the joy, and the benefits of your life in Christ. And again, this is as believers. A brother continues, in his own time, and well within the scope of Romans 8:28, which tells us all things work together for good. Even our immaturity as Christians, God is using it to perfect that which concerns us. So the brother says, even within the scope of Romans 8:28, your Father applied that very self-centeredness to reveal to you something of the sinful malignancy. I love the usage, his usage of that word malignancy, right? It's just like the malignant is a synonym of malevolent, intending to do evil to someone. When it talks about a disease, it's destructive and infectious. So just take, malignant is bad, right? So of our selfish nature as Christians, in God's patient timing and processing, this brother said, the Lord used even that to reveal to you something of the sinful malignancy and power of your indwelling Adamic man. The old nature still there with you, right? Down you went into the extended defeat of Romans 7. You know the passage. Oh, the good that I want to do, I do not do. The evil that I hate, I practice. Right? And found yourself to be none other than the, oh, wretched man that I am. That's Romans 7:24. It was by means of the futile struggle against the overwhelming strength of sin that God brought you to the largest spiritual advance so far in your Christian life. Again, brothers, this is what the Lord gave to share. This is where we're at. This is his emphasis on this, right? We all know that passage in Romans 7. And then, because God never abandons us, he ultimately brings you to that. He shows you what you are apart from Christ, and then he gives you what you need. This brother referred to it this way. He imagines how you came to this position. He says, it was through the careful sharing of a friend, a conference message, a book, a tract, a tape, many different means the Lord could use, that you were introduced to the liberating identification truths of the life that is Christ. Identificate, what is that? You know, your who you are in Christ. And now as you reckon on that, as you trust by faith who you are, things happen. It's the only way to live the life that Christ had, by letting him live the life by faith, right? And it takes time and processing. So again, the Lord really got my attention with these lepers. Like, he's using all. I don't know how they ended up, but I know how the Lord works with us. Let's continue on here. So you came to that point after realizing something of who you are. It's like, oh, this is where you weren't just born again. You're a new creation in Christ. And now as you trust that fact, things are going to change. And they did. And they do. Well, first season, let's get to that. This brother said, after guiding you in a good deal of concentrated study, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, revealed your identification with the Lord Jesus in his death unto sin and resurrection unto newness of life. That's Romans 6:3 through 5. It reveals the principle that the new life only comes from the death of the old. The old must be reckoned dead. And then the new is brought forward by the Lord. As a result, you began to enjoy a growing freedom from the power and reign of sin, with your daily life reflecting less of the works of the old nature, the Adamic flesh, and more of the fruit of the Spirit, the new creation, the life of the last Adam, Jesus. More of you learn this next big step after this painful processing. And this is how one brother said in a previous study, he said, yeah, you began to reckon on it. I'm reckoning, and you're seeing things happen that never happened before. And then pretty soon that starts to fail you. Maybe you have been there. If not, I suspect you're on your way because it's his way. Now, this brother addresses that last fact here in the growth of a Christian. But even while growing in the deeper truths, quote, right, the identification truths, you've been more aware of the benefactee than the benefactor. How's that? Words maybe we don't use. You're still more aware of, wait a minute, I don't have the liberty. I. He continues. You've been more occupied with the liberation and the growth truths and their results than with the liberator. It was Jesus' command. Something that I'm sure I would have, by his grace, responded the same way as that 1 out of 10 lepers, go your way. Okay, this is what Jesus said. But now I couldn't do it. Lord, I can't go my way. It's your way, Lord. You know, unless the Lord said, hey, understand this. By you going where I tell you, you are going my... Okay, thank you, Lord, because I don't want to go my... I want, where are you? I need to know where you're at in all of this. Who's being served here? I can't serve two masters, Lord. You taught me that. You're teaching me that. How does this serve your purposes? So when this brother says it, it resonates strongly with me, and I suspect some of you. It's like, you know, I've been through that. I've studied the doctrine, and I've seen some things, but now it's really never been the answer that was promised. I don't see this in my growth. I don't see this in my freedom from sin. I don't see this. Are you seeing Jesus? Because that's how we're supposed to run our race, with our eyes focused on him. So again, the brother says, you've been more occupied with the liberation and growth truths and their results than with the liberator, the one who's not only the truth, but your very Christian life. Galatians 2:20, right? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. I'm all focused on him, right? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's the more advanced stages. And this is the path that the Lord uses to get us there. For you, it has been that I may know liberty, freedom, that I may know growth, rather than for the very reason of your Christian life, that I may know him. Philippians 3:10. It is as you are beginning to experience something of the Father's purpose of conforming you into the image of his Son that the Spirit reveals the purpose behind the purpose. We talked about this during announcements. If you're listening to the recording, you didn't hear this. Right? God chooses us and redeems us and then begins to conform us into the image of Christ, not as a end in itself, but the means to the end, the purpose behind what God is doing with these other things. He changes us to be like Jesus so we can have fellowship with Jesus, so we can know him. When our focus is not on him, but any of the things that he's doing, you just don't see the advance. The Lord doesn't want our focus anyplace else. So from brothers who have walked through this and have learned from the Lord himself, consistent with his word, it's expressed to us, again at these words, as we close up with this part, it's as you are beginning to experience something of the Father's purpose of conforming you to the image of his Son, that the Spirit, God himself, reveals the purpose behind the purpose. Being conformed to the image of the Son is foundational for the Father's primary purpose of having personal fellowship with you, both now and throughout eternity. Catch that last phrase, because it's where we're going as we get back to Luke. Both now and throughout eternity. 10 lepers, pictures of sinners, come to Jesus. They recognize their need. Jesus graciously, without partiality, ministers to all of them. 9 go their way. 1 realizes, like, oh, wait a minute. It's the Lord. I'm going to at least come back and give thanks and praise him. And then Jesus said, your faith has made, go your way. I think in the growth process we do, it's like, no, I'm not going. I'm not. We won't move without you. We won't move without, I heard that recently someplace. I'll move with you, but not without you. And that's just a biblical reality. It's only in the old nature, the flesh. And that's where the end of our progression in Christ ends. What does it look like? All those statements that I've handed out so many times. Jesus' humility in his own words. I only do the will of the Father. The words I speak are not my own. I always do what pleases the Father. I and the Father are one. That kind of reality. That's what the Lord is teaching us. So this last sentence that connects us back to the text. Father's ultimate purpose is having a personal fellowship with us both now and throughout eternity. Let's go back to Luke chapter 17. After the portion with the lepers, Jesus then turns, to the disciples after this event. Look at verse 20. Now when Jesus, was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus, answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. This passage is kind of the transition and the teaching point for the disciples that comes next week, but we're disciples, we need to get some of this. The Pharisees' perspective, steeped in the rituals of Judaism, but not the reality of relationship with God. They're going through the motions, but they're not one with the Father. Right? Oh, the kingdom. Well, we're looking for, when does that come? We're looking for that. And that's why you don't have it. It's within you. Right? Now, this is not to say that there isn't the future fulfillment. But understanding what the Lord is putting for us should give us great hope, great direction, great peace, great fruit, and clarity as we understand. There is a future time coming. The Lord is coming back for his bride, might be today. Praise God. But what to do until then? Well, I guess just keep going to prophecy conferences. Keep looking and what? I love prophecy conferences. Don't get me wrong. As long as the Lord's leading, I've come to learn that. You know, you can start stacking up all kinds of books and study courses and all that, and it's just like, and still not have Jesus, and then just, well, I just keep more and more. It's like I'm getting a dopamine hit off it or something, but what's it producing in me? Doctrine can only take us so far, and it's essential. But if it doesn't bring us to him, if Satan uses us to distract us and put the focus on me, oh, look how I'm growing. Look how I'm, more like, instead of, it all happens as I stay focused on Christ. We're transformed from glory to glory by the Holy Spirit, right? By just looking at him. That's all we have to do is stay focused. Where's Jesus? That should be the number one thing. I'm involved in something. It's like, where's the, is the Lord led me in this? Where am I? I'm reading the Bible. Lord, wait, is this where you're directing? I feel like I'm by myself because I am. So fast. But by putting our focus, it's all within. The kingdom of God is within me. Now, the two aspects, the present and the future, that idea gives biblical basis to the popular and helpful phrase, the already, but not yet. Jesus is coming back. Christians, we're coming back with him. He'll set up his reign. We'll rule and reign with Christ. It's going to be wonderful. But right now, in order for that to happen, he has a purpose. That conforming us into his image so that we might have that fellowship with him. That's what he's doing now. And that only happens by keeping our focus on him now. The kingdom is within. Nobody out there is in the kingdom, but they can see the kingdom in me, just like they saw it in Jesus. Not everybody liked it. Doesn't it tell you how deceived even brothers and sisters are who are actively out there trying to establish the kingdom, do the kingdom work? First of all, God does that. And he does it within us. Hence the passage, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? Hey, I'm just going to sit here focused on the king. And now the doctrine begins to take on a different newness, a different impact. Where's Jesus in this? Reading the Bible, what's the Lord doing with these guys? More than I'm certain we know. But these are the things that he gave us today. So, as we wrap up, which leper are you? Christian, you're not a leper. The old nature is, and will always, but it's condemned. It doesn't exist before God. It's under his judgment. You're a new creation in Christ, specifically. Not apart from him. He's not growing something out of him, outside of him, but with him. Just like Jesus and the Father. That focus. As Jesus was always focused on the Father, so are we. By focusing on the Lord himself. Wow, this is where it is. And leprosy? No, it doesn't exist. The new nature does not sin because it cannot sin. It was created in God in true righteousness. And now, even though we don't see the fullness, you are a subject of the kingdom because the Lord is having his way. He's ruling and reigning. And you know what happens as you're focused? You change. Man, I don't know about you. You've changed. Something happened. I remember that after my conversion. Wasn't like I did. I mean, he changes you. You can't run into God and not be changed. You changed, man. And then this is what happened. Yes, I did. Oh, look how I'm changing. I'm reading more doctrine so I can know. It was just like I read from this. It was all about me, 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 me. And I did progress until the things that I want to do, I do not do. The evil that I hate, I practice. Lord, I can't do it. Oh, and then it happens. I can no more sanctify myself than I can justify. Lord, you have to do this. Oh, yes, that's correct. Here's what you're missing. The same way that you're sanctified is the way you're just believe. Oh, I just have to believe, Lord. I remember that day very specifically. 2009. I just look at that. And now, oh, okay, my freedom. I was like, well, I don't know. How's my growth? Starts going back down. And the Lord uses all of that. All the self-failure to say, here's what you're missing. You are still focused on you, even as a believer. And right now, this was something that the Lord told me. It was something when I was giving myself over to the old nature and feeling anxious. I've got to do something, man. I've got to do something. Well, okay, what do I have to do? Jesus has come to me and rest, but I've got to do something. I got to hurry up. And then the Lord just spoke to me. Okay, then what? Well, then I'll do the next thing. Then what? Well, then I'll do the... Oh, wait. Being with you is the only thing, isn't it? Here's how the Lord made it make sense in my mind and put my focus in the only helpful place back on him. I have all eternity to serve the Lord. And eternity is now. That's what the kingdom is. I'm fellowshipping with, I'm just looking to him. God, go over here. Okay, but I'm not going my way, right? No, I'm here with you because Jesus said, we kind of covered this previously, it's all connected. If anyone serves me, where my servant is, there I will be also. Oh, this is what it's going to look like then and forever. Isn't it? Yes, but only better. And it will only be that way now if you learn the lessons here and now. The kingdom of God, brothers and sisters, is within us because Christ is within us. Amen? Last question. Father, we pray to put our focus upon you, Lord, to just simply say thank you. Here we are. You have said much, Lord, a small amount in the word, Lord. I have said much. What I'm asking is just what you are using to communicate to every brother and sister, wherever they're at today, that which they most need to hear. And Lord, that we should be anxious for nothing but zealous for one thing, fellowship with you, because it's the relationship that we have with you now that you use to grow us for the fullness later. So Father, if we can take one thing away that will matter most, is what you've been telling us so many times. Where is Jesus in my thoughts? Am I looking for your progress in me, or am I just simply looking to you and letting you bear the fruit to grow and mature the branch in the process? Father, are others seeing you? If not, Lord, it can't be because I'm spending time with you. Father, you alone know what's needed. We just know to come to you and to be like that leper. A leper no longer. Lord, let us simply be upon our faces, figuratively or literally, if you choose. It's certainly not a ritual that connects us to you, but it's you who've connected us. And let us just be in that place of glorifying you, Lord. And Father, may we not ever depart. These things we ask as we thank you and praise you in faith. In Jesus' name.